This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We'll get to Vinny Pasquantino's injury after what's trending, but the Royals did make a couple moves today, right? You're still trying to finalize the Major League camp roster and everything. Harold Castro, Taylor Clark, Brian O'Keefe, Tyler Tolbert assigned to minor league camp. Nick Lofton, Drew Waters, Joey Weimer have been optioned to minor league camp, so they're going to be optioned to AAA Omaha. That leaves the Major League roster at 26.
That's the number
plus.
You have to have for opening day.
Yeah, now Annie Rogers did mention that she expects that means because of this that Kevin Biggio is expected to break camp with the Royals.
He's working at
some. He's working at some first base. Now they maybe need some more depth there, and he will be selected to the 40 man. That's what it seems like, barring some sudden change.
No, looks like Kevin Biggio is going to make it. Probably a little more flexibility in there. Dyron Blanco is going to make it, and that's a that's your roster. I mean, if you look at the projected roster right now, I still like it for the Royals. We can talk more about the AL Central later. Or where the Royals are, obviously 2 days away from opening day. Next up on What's Trending, devastating news to college women's basketball yesterday. USC star Juju Watkins suffered a torn ACL during her team's 96-59 win over Mississippi State last night. K-State is actually taking on USC in the Sweet 16, but they'll be without the single biggest star in college basketball on the women's side, which is Juju Watkins. Made a little contact with the player, then it looks like she went to make a step, and the ACL just gave out. You could tell the second it happened last night that it was a serious injury. And then at like 1 a.m., I think Shams and a couple of other people started to leak out the news that she had suffered a torn ACL. Really terrible.
Yeah, don't like to see that whatsoever. Did you see prior to that on a more positive note with her than the injury? That there's before one of the games, I guess Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, was sitting in the stands next to Juju and Watkins, and like they were clearly like talking, maybe flirting a little bit, and like you could tell things were going well. And Jaden Daniels' mom is his agent, okay, and she's very protective of her son. All of a sudden they cut back and his mom is sitting between the two of them and basically killed the whole vibe.
She said she's not letting anybody ruin his career or mess up his career.
They looked like they were having a nice convo. They were flirting a little
bit. Ruin his career. He can date and have a career. Damn. Look, I can't. Like, my mom was not overprotective like that. She might have been the opposite, probably.
The video's hilarious.
In all fairness. You're not sitting in between me and a girl and flirting. Yeah. Get the hell out of here.
The video's unbelievable because things were going well for both of them. They seem both to be enjoying the conversation and everything. And then they cut back to the stands, and his mom is right there. And you can tell that the look on both of their faces completely changed. Conversation was dead.
Some cold water in that situation.
Yeah.
That's rude as hell.
Elsewhere, college basketball. UNLV is set to hire former Georgia Tech men's basketball coach and former Memphis head coach Josh Pastner. That's because UNLV unfortunately let go of their head coach after four seasons. Lon Kruger's son. What was his name? I remember his son's name. But Lon Kruger's son. Remember, Lon Kruger left Oklahoma to go help his son at UNLV.
Yeah, I remember
that. And then 4 years, no tournament berths, so they move on. And Josh Pastner, he was once, 10 years ago, that was like the...
When he was at Memphis, he was like, he'll be at the next blue.
He was like 35 years old and like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be the next great head coach.
Is that what his name was? Kevin Kruger?
I was thinking Kevin or Kyle.
I felt like it had, I thought it was a K name. I thought it had some alliteration. Yeah, I mean, look, it's fine. UNLV is maybe a little bit of life. Yeah. He's got kind of some energy.
Kevin Kruger was Lon Kruger's son.
Okay, yeah. So a little bit of extra life in there. It's not a bad thing. Next up on What's Trending after his pro day yesterday, Cam Ward has become the heavy favorite to be the number one overall pick, upwards of minus 1,000 at some books, minus 700 at some books, depending on where you look at it. He's become the heavy favorite. Most scouts saying he looked awesome. And there, the real question is not that Cam Ward's going one. The question is it the Titans who are taking him at one, or are they trading that for a basket of picks to some other team to select him instead? I just couldn't imagine the feeling as a GM. Even if you're a new one, and Mike Borgonzi, if you give up the number one overall pick and they end up being a star, what the hell were you thinking? How often do you get to be the number one overall pick? And if you blow it and Cam Ward's a star and you trade away the picks, boy, try to recover from that.
Schefter, as you were speaking, literally 20 seconds ago, just put out a little update on that.
Interesting
time. Says Tennessee will hold an additional private workout with Cam Ward. Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward. And while they're expected to elicit offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package. Okay, well, yeah, they wish. I mean, I'm sure that's just
Titans
also
would like more you would like to trade for Cam Ward.
That's just playing the game. I'm not saying they don't like Cam Ward, but like, of course, they're
what
leaking out there.
There.
Yeah, worked out beautifully. That was great, great timing. All right, that is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Let's talk about Vinny Pasquantino. I purposely didn't mention in What's Trending because I knew we were going to talk about him a little bit here. We know it's a grade 1+ strain is what they're calling it, which on its own right is actually not terrible news because it could have been grade 2 or something. He could be out weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Doesn't look like that's it at all. In fact, there is still a chance that he doesn't miss any time.
He can play Thursday.
Andy Rogers had a quote from him yesterday in which Vinny was honest about the situation, right? He acknowledged as a player, quote, "I plan on playing Thursday, but that's just me speaking as a player." And over the next couple of days leading up to opening day, the Royals training staff is going to make a decision. And there was a further update on this in the last hour or so as well from Andy Rogers that and Matt Cotrero was talking about that Vinny told him that everything felt good in the cage. The next step today is increasing the intensity on the field. So still going to go through some of the testing and see where he's at. They're obviously not going to risk anything here. It's a 162 game schedule. This is different than just pushing it to get back for a playoff game. This is, hey man, we know you want to be out there for opening day. If it's not right, it's not right. And so hopefully it is and he's out there, but you know, there's no reason to force this thing given the long haul of the season you have.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want him to risk it and then risk further injury. It's great news that it's such a minor strain because the immediate thought is like, oh no, snake bit. Like the immediate feeling anytime someone who's been hurt in previous years gets hurt is like, oh man, not again. Not for them. He's one of their most important bats. We saw what happened after he went down last year with the thumb injury. It took so long for that offense to find any kind of rhythm at all. And it just doesn't work in that case. And so, no, I feel pretty good that that's a possibility. I'll just say, like, if it were like a 50-50 call, opening day is important, and they got an off day on Friday, and you get a lot of off days in the early part of the season for whatever reason it seems to lay out that way. You get a couple there early. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be careful. Because I want 150 games out of Vinny this year. That's the goal. That's what he was on pace to play last year. Actually, a little bit more. 150 games. That is, injury stuff is behind you. You played a full-ass season. And last year, he was putting it behind him. He'd had all the shoulder stuff. He'd had surgery. He was playing every day, every game, every time. No questions. He was on the field, no doubt. And then the freakazoid injury got him. This one's a more common one, right? In the hamstring, and you're like, man, are you just snake bit? Like, there's just no hope? But no, if he can play on Thursday, if the trainers clear him, I'm not going to complain. It's just like, I'd err on the side of caution. I'm assuming you would, too.
Of course. I mean, yeah, I think everybody understands that given the length of the season, when this injury is happening, and you kind of move on. It sounds like even if you were to miss any time, it's not going to be something that's all that long, and that's why it's a positive upset moving forward. But I will say, like, you're right. We look at the injury history, and yes, they've been different things. And heck, he joked with us 2 months ago, I guess it's been at this point in time, like, about his offseason workout, and like, hey, he's kind of like, hey, I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's kind of have a bit of an injury history. I mean, he's well aware of it. They can be different injuries, but the reality is, unfortunately, he now this will be a third or fourth straight year where he has some injury. Yeah. Now, I hope this, as you said,
but if he didn't really have an injury, he just like had
a
flare up.
But you can understand why people are concerned because it's before the season even started, and now you're banking on him being 100% healthy the rest of the way. That's the concern, knowing that this isn't just a one-time thing. Yes, different injuries. We talk about this in football all the time. You've been critical of other players,
yeah,
right?
I mean, like at some point, probably most recently with the Chiefs, the guy can't get on the field, whether it be freak clavicle injury or other stuff. Yeah.
So I mean, it sucks. And so we'll see. We'll find out more probably again tomorrow after the fielding stuff today. Tomorrow's the workout day, and you would like to have maybe an answer by then. We know opening day, of course, Thursday. We'll be out at Kauffman Stadium outside Gate D Thursday. So if you're going out, sellout crowd, weather looks pretty darn good. It's going to be awesome. So we'll be out there. Stop by, say hello on Thursday. And then don't forget Friday, Vern's got his Q&A roundtable. 96.5 The Fan, we're all going to be out there at Hollywood Casino. 6 o'clock Friday, Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, sitting down with Vern, talking some ball, and then we'll have a meet and greet afterwards with the players. Plus, everybody from the station is going to be there. And Sweet 16 night, right across from the sports book there inside Hollywood Casino. So should be a good night.
It's going to be an awesome time. Really happy to do this event. Ideally, it'll be something we get to do every year. They're almost always scheduled off on that Friday because
got to be home.
Got to be home. Got to be home. And they're always worried about weather, right? They don't want to have to miss opening day and then do it that way. So yeah, really looking forward to Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, Vern talking to those guys, and then your chance to get to meet them. Both those guys are great people. Like, they're going to be generous with their time. They are great dudes overall, and it should be a good time. Plus, you know, like I said, everyone can maybe get on a craps table together. Maybe we can all try to get hot. Cold last time you and I went to the craps table together.
Ooh.
It went poorly.
We were in Vegas. This was
poorly. I lost all the money I'd won playing poker on that single craps roll. It was crazy.
And what's weird, that wasn't actually the last time we were in Vegas. No, that was that was a Super Bowl. Last February. It was over a year ago. The last two trips, we did not play craps, I don't think. We were just
probably because
we were at stadium swim and stuff. But
last time.
The Super Bowl trip at the craps table was, we were done, what did you say, within 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Because we're just going to keep throwing away money. Otherwise, we were done pretty darn quick.
Well, like I was also
at a casino that doesn't exist anymore. It was we stopped by because the table limits were getting up there on Super Bowl week, like getting high.
Yeah, they were getting
and we were cheap. And so we were like, no. So we went to Tropicana. That has since been demolished. That's where the new A Stadium, if they ever get that thing done, is. The Tropicana doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I mean it. Oh yeah,
you gave them the last few bucks before they went out.
Before they demolished the place.
Yeah,
literally, it's like that was the day. Like, if you guys remember the story of me being drunk in front of our boss, all of this is like one day. I go out and I play poker and drink at the tables for hours. I win all the money there. I'm like, oh, I'm way up. I'm feeling good. And then you and I did the concert and everything else and the client thing. We go to the concert, then we go back, and then I hit the craps table, and it went bad. Both times I've seen you play craps in Vegas, it went bad in a hurry. We did not get a single hot roll either time. What the hell?
Good.
We're actually due. Maybe Hollywood. Maybe Vegas isn't our place for craps. Maybe it's here, you know?
Yeah. We can try if you want. I tell you, the table limits won't be nearly as bad. Table limits at Hollywood will be friendly compared to what we had in Vegas.
It was like $20 minimums and stuff.
I was more than that.
You're right. We walked through Aria, 40. It was like, 40.
It was a little bit up there.
Was Aria, is that where we were? That's what the concert was? No, where was it?
Cosmo.
That's what it was.
Luke Combs.
I've been to too many
You don't remember that night very much, too.
Well, I remember enough. I just don't.
All I know is you told me, Cody,
I know.
100 times that you had lunch with Pete Sweeney. He told me 100 times.
That's what I was playing poker. That's what I was playing poker with.
I must have heard this story about how good the lunch was many times on the walk back.
Fancy lunch.
It was unbelievable.
The bigger question, I remember most of the night now that we've had a little time separated from it.
Yeah.
We've been to Vegas too many times now. I can't remember which things we did at which hotel. Does that?
Oh, that's fair.
We stay that's at fair. Circa, we do stuff there. We have been to Vegas. I went to Vegas 3 times last year. I'm like, which hotel were we at for the concert? Cosmo. I remember the lobby now. Very posh.
Cosmo's, oh, Cosmo's great hotel.
Very fancy.
Yeah, Cosmo's a great hotel in Vegas. I want to pivot a little bit. We haven't talked about the World Cup in a while and just that massive event that's a year or so away from coming to our city and what a stage this is going to be for Kansas City. Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4 just had a couple updates on this. I thought some of it was interesting. Just we know the experience we're used to when we go to the Truman Sports Complex for Chiefs games in particular or on Thursday for a Royals game, right? Tailgating. You just drive right up.
We're used to the atmosphere.
Drive right up. So Jonathan Katz was talking to some reps over at FWC26KC. That's like the group in charge of everything, right? And he said he was told that you may not be able to drive to Arrowhead for the World Cup if you're going to a match in 2026. The parking lot will look a lot different than it does on game day. And I think there were some rumblings about this as well. Remember, we got so, what do they say, a million potentially across the entire World Cup in Kansas City, a million people coming to our city. Once we find out the draw, I mean, you could, let's say you have Brazil or Honduras, whatever. You're going to have so many people internationally coming in that obviously aren't going to have vehicles here that are going to have to be shuttled to the games. And so you're not going to be able to just drive up and park like you're used to. There will have to be, the city still has to figure this out. There will have to be
park
and ride type of stuff going on all across the city.
The idea that you won't be able to just drive
sounds like it.
To the stadium, park there, do the normal thing, feels so foreign. Like
well,
it won't even feel like going to Arrowhead or Kauffman if there aren't people sitting in their cars playing music with a grill going. It'll feel like bizarre. I also feel like that's a mistake by FIFA in one area, which I'll say is you choose these host cities, they make their bids, and you choose them because of like who they are as a city, how they presented themselves, like the reasons people might want to go there. And like part of Kansas City sports scene, including what you see in Power and Light or there or why soccer's been so, is that part of it? Is that, I mean, they're still getting it sporting.
But the FIFA is big on all these sites being this like the same, right? Not only from a field
they want,
thing,
they want it to be uniform.
They want it to be universally the same as much as possible, certainly at the stadium. Now, what P&L does or the reason why the Barney Alice Plaza is still, you know, that is going to be right up until the start. They're working on that. That's going to get done before.
Arrowhead probably too. Remember, they were a month behind
doing some stuff there. When it comes to moving, they got to move some seats back because you have to have certain field dimensions and everything. But I thought that was just kind of different. I thought there was some speculation at one point in time that that was going to be the case, but it sounds like more and more once the city actually has a plan and about how they're going to get people to the games.
It's going to be tough because I'll just be honest. We do not, as a city, contain the infrastructure currently to bus that many people out. You're going to need 78 coach buses.
I already saw like Johnson County
at different stop points.
They just leased out a ton of new buses for this and everything.
Here's a follow-up question. Those buses cost money? So in addition to the hundreds you're going to spend to get in the seat to watch a World Cup game, I got to spend $40 like a mega bus ticket? How much money do I got to spend to get my ass down there?
Look, it might be Kansas City's first rodeo. This is not FIFA's first rodeo. Yeah. I am sure, even if the city is having some delays, this will end up working out. This will end up working out a year from now, but they got a ton of work to still do.
And someone was like, hey, look, if you don't want no tailgating in a Royals game, that's what the downtown baseball do. I will say,
baseball's not as much tailgate as Chiefs tailgate.
Yeah,
I know people tailgate at baseball games, but that's not what you think of when you think of baseball games.
Yeah, it's people do it, and I think of it about the culture of the Truman Sports Complex. So I did lump in baseball, and I do think they do it some at Sporting and some of these others. It is more of a Chiefs-specific thing. By the way, Chiefs are very aware of that. Wherever they go, Mark Donovan has specifically said that there needs to be a tailgating element available for their fans. So, like, they're not trying to lose that is a part of it. And, look, I still have no idea where the hell this stadium's going to go. I know Bob has been reporting on the Sprint side, and now, I don't know, one of the parent company hands of help, like, well, you know, we're not, who the hell knows? I don't know where these things are going right now for the Royals or the Chiefs. I would like them to make an announcement. This went from, we were talking to some people at KMBC 9 today, and this is how I felt about it, where I think most fans are on the stadium stuff. Thrilled to talk stadium stuff. See renderings. See where it's going to be. See the potential sites. See what the results of the vote were. I was excited of all the possibilities, Gold, of what it could be and where the step. Now, just tell me where you're going to go. Like, I'm done in the fight, I guess. I think I'm done in the trenches part of this. Just tell me where your stadium's going to be, what I got to pay or don't pay, and just be done with it.
I think most people are there. I think most people are there with the stadium discussion and the delays and the questions and where things are at. Remember, as we said yesterday, we're about a week out from it being a year since the disaster of a vote that took place in Jackson County for the stadiums and the renovation projects for the renovation project for the Chiefs, I should say, and the new stadium for the Royals.
I remember us sitting outside of Kauffman being like, is this one of the final opening days? Will be? And it's still technically true.
They are not playing at Kauffman in 2031. So yeah, that is still happening.
At that time, we thought it might be 2028. We thought it might be one of the final four, three,
But I think most people the deadlines keep getting pushed back. At one point it was, hey, they're going to have an answer around the winter meetings. And then it was maybe around opening day. Now it seems like there's more discussion around June, and I do know the star bonds in Kansas expire in June, but it sounds like we were talking to somebody about this a couple weeks ago that those can be extended if necessary. But yes, in June they technically do expire, the Kansas star bonds.
Someone said on the text line they went to Qatar. They said the bus system they explained was exactly what it was. And they said it was awesome. Like, it'll probably be more organized than Kansas City's current poor public transit system, which is awful.
What's the public transportation in Qatar or whatever already?
Yeah, I mean, probably better than Kansas City. Mm. Kansas City is a commuter city for a lot of reasons. It's very spread out, like a lot of big suburb areas. But the problem is Kansas City's got a wretched bus system. It's bad on both sides of the state line. It is horrid. The streetcar makes it a little better, but they don't even have that thing down to Riverside yet or out, and they're not getting it out to the stadiums or anything. So, it's not going that way. So, you can't fully utilize
the buses.
All
buses are free in Qatar.
Ooh.
Which would be great.
Could be there. Look, that FIFA, still be the case. To Gold's point, FIFA's put on a few of these.
Oh, yeah.
They probably know how to get some buses in your city to get you there. And so, whether they're free or they cost money. And someone says that, traditionally, sometimes they try to keep some tickets reasonably priced for locals. I hope that's the case. I think all three of us are interested in watching. This might be my only chance to watch a World Cup match, might be my only chance of watching a World Cup match in Kansas City, hypothetically, because we don't know if they'll ever get another one. Because not only does the U.S. have to be a host city, Kansas City has to win the bid to be one of the cities the games are actually played, or a host country. Kansas City has to be one of the cities to actually win it. So.
Someone says the vote in last April was not a disaster. The Chiefs and Royals lost by 60%. I don't know. I mean, that's a disaster result.
Talk to anyone in politics and find out if they think that margin's not big.
Now, I guess if your point is that, you were on the no side, so you didn't think it was a disaster, okay, fine. But, in general...
The people who wanted the state.
It was an absolute disaster. They lost by 16 points.
It was a massacre. It was a land... it wasn't close. That's, I guess, what you... I took it the way you meant it.
Yeah.
If he just meant it's not a disaster because you don't want the stadiums...
Sure.
That's different. But I don't think that's the way you were meaning it, obviously. It was bad for the Chiefs and the Royals. Real bad.
Somebody mentioned that you don't get tailgating with a downtown stadium for baseball, but tailgating's not... Correct me if I'm wrong.
But I get downtown baseball.
I know.
I take the trade-off.
I don't. Tailgating for baseball is not as big of a deal as tailgating is for football. So, certainly.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And certainly not in Kansas City, but there's not zero tailgating, as we previously mentioned. I also just think that's a trade-off. I will sell tailgating for the Royals for downtown baseball. How many downtown stadiums have you been to? I've been to a bunch. Not a bunch.
Three, maybe.
Giants. Three. Twins.
St. Louis is obviously what a lot of people maybe have been to.
Mm-hmm. I've been to several downtown stadiums. It's great. You don't need to tailgate. There's 1,000 places to go. Part of the reason tailgating probably even became a thing at Kauffman and Arrowhead is because there's nothing to do. People didn't have a choice. And so maybe it became a thing because there wasn't something to do. If you put baseball downtown, you'll have something to do. Although, who knows? Again, maybe it'll end up in Kansas, Missouri, downtown. I don't think it's ever going to Clay County. Remember when we talked about that for a few minutes? I liked their rendering.
What's weird is a couple weeks back, maybe it's been a month, the city and Casey Moe and some leaders put out that press release that they went to Jefferson City and they put together this bill that was going to rival the Kansas Star Bonds. And I think Mayor Kuehler said it's better than Kansas's plan, in my opinion. You know, that bill hasn't even gotten to committee. It's just sitting there, and the Missouri session ends about a month from now, mid-May, over a month from now, a month and a half from now.
They're not even doing anything?
Not currently. Not currently. It's just sitting there.
Hasn't gotten
still.
To committee. That's yep. like step one of like correct. Sit, just sitting right?
There. So like oh, they, cool. they quickly reacted to like the some of the reports and they said, see, we're trying. We think we put together a, you know, I don't remember the exact term they use, but like developmental incentives or whatever that rival the star bonds. And nothing has happened with that bill in the Missouri legislature.
Just I don't know why it feels like it's been stuck in neutral for so damn long.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, let's get to Trey Smith. He spoke to Kay Adams yesterday about how he's feeling about a contract extension, plus the random question of the day.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day in a couple of minutes. I did want to pass along just an update. We were talking stadium stuff already. Obviously, you guys know yesterday we played the audio from our own Bob Fesco reporting that he was hearing the more momentum around the 119th and Null site, the old Sprint campus, as we all just kind of reference it as. There was a statement just issued to Channel 9's Matt Evans from Occidental Management. That's the company that owns the former Sprint campus there, 119th and Null. I'll just read you the statement. It says, quote, after hearing and seeing reports and social media posts regarding the Royals potentially locating to the, was it Aspira or Aspiria campus?
Yeah,
I would like to state that it is not in discussions with the Royals about being a potential new site for their stadium. Went on to say, there is a lot of speculation out there. This is just a rumor. We are not talking with the Royals about moving to the campus, said Chad Stafford, Occidental Management's president. That's just their response. So we just have conflicting reporting going out on one side saying that there's no discussions. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't expect the management to say, you know what? Yeah, we are talking to the Royals. I'm sure the Royals would love that.
I hope they still give us the deal we
so
want.
So I don't, you know.
Who knows?
So I don't think, I've seen some of you, unfortunately, try to take direct shots at our guy Fesco saying he's 100% wrong. I'll be honest, we don't know the end result, but that statement doesn't mean anybody's wrong. That's all I'm saying. It's like, it's a conflicting statement. It doesn't mean anybody is wrong or incorrect with their reporting. So I would say, like, you can, you know, you don't need to make it personal attacking anybody at the station for their reporting. That doesn't mean anybody's wrong or anybody's doing anything intentionally. So I'll back him up on that, but not that he needs it, but, it's a conflicting report, that's for sure.
My official stance is I don't have any idea.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think maybe they know. Like, maybe they know, but we went through this in the early stages of this process, too, with Washington Square Park and the Sprint, and not Sprint, but, like, the old KC Star building and the North Kansas City ones and all the reporting happened to this. A lot of times, varying reports come out for the obvious reasons. They're trying to nudge one thing the other way or convince the other of the other thing. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I would like this to be done. I would like them to just say where they're putting the stadium. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty firm statement from them saying, like, we're not
for
negotiating.
Sure. Yeah, it's more than a no comment.
I never would. But
yeah, it's more than a no comment, but I just wanted to pass it. We are talking stadium stuff, so just for the sake of having both reports out there.
Can I mention one other statement that happened unrelated to the stadium stuff? Sometimes these general manager jobs happen, and I don't think too much of it. As you remember, Andrew Luck, Drew, took the general manager job at Stanford University.
Smart guy.
They've got a head coach who's only been there 1 year.
Big news.
He wrote a whole 3-paragraph statement being like, I fired his ass. And I mean, he said, a bunch. He said, since the beginning, my role as general manager, I have thoroughly assessing the entire football program. It is clear that certain aspects of our program need change. Additionally, in recent days, there have been some significant attention to Stanford investigations in previous years related to Coach Taylor. After continued consideration, it is evident to me the program needs a reset. In consultation with the leadership, I no longer believe that he's the guy. He fired the guy already.
Well, they brought him in.
He got him as a GM, and he's like, cleaning house.
They brought him in to take charge.
There were some allegations.
He's not taking the job. He's doing the job for real, real.
Well, there was some investigation into him being a verbally abusive and bullying to some of the people who were a part of his program.
Oh, well,
so obviously that
he's only there like a year or two,
part of the yes, he came over from Sacramento State, and did great things at Sac State, did not do too well at Stanford, obviously. According to stories,
10,000 jillion budget at Sac State, people try to convince us they had or whatever.
During his time, multiple employees filed complaints about his behavior, saying that he was aggressive and hostile towards colleagues, most of whom were women. So Andrew Luck nipping that in the butt very quickly. So good for Andrew Luck.
They haven't been good since Andrew Luck left. They stink.
Correct.
Yeah, it makes what David Shaw did briefly, and obviously Harbaugh did for their tenure there, pretty impressive.
Shaw was actually pretty good.
The standards and the academic standards that are required to obviously play there. Now, it's so weird. Stanford's in the ACC now, so it's...
Yeah, it's gross.
It's bizarre. Thanks to conference realignment.
Oh, that feels so weird. Let's
talk some Chiefs football for a second, though, because Trey Smith, we all know, has signed the franchise tag. That's not new news. You guys know that. We know there's a deadline in July for them to agree to a long-term contract with him, and so now the waiting game continues. When is a deal going to get done? And I think for it to be viewed as a successful decision to trade Joe Tooney, part of that is thinking that you're getting a long-term deal done with Trey Smith, which I believe both sides want to have happen. Here was Trey Smith on with Kay Adams yesterday.
You were one of two players, my friend, to be franchise tagged this year. T. Higgins got his deal. What's up? Where are we? Where are we in the process?
Yeah, shout out to T. Higgins, man, two Tennessee boys. They were in the same high school class, too, so... Really cool to see T getting paid. You know, ultimately, man, I can only focus on just working out and training, you know, and I love Kansas City. It's my home. I love the Chiefs. The fans in Kansas City are some of the best people I've ever been around. And, you know, ultimately, I would love to stay there. And that's my plan.
The number, though, has been set, like the minimum, right? I mean, if you signed a tag for what he signed it for,
that's the number.
You're not taking less. Yeah. And so that's the challenge. And that's probably why this is taking longer than many people thought. You know, when he got tagged initially, the thought was, oh, they might get a deal done like the next 5 days kind of thing. Well, now we're thinking, oh, they tagged him because they knew it was going to take a while to get a deal done, and they did not want him hitting the open market where he was going to have 31 other teams up in the price.
I'm not saying you can't play him on a tag this year, because it ended up working out with Chris Jones, so like they could hypothetically make it work again. This goes back to the thing that I've crushed other teams for, and I think rightfully so. Do not let this go a whole year. Do you know what guards are going to be making by next year? Don't do this. Just pay him the amount of money he is making on the tag as an average annual per year. Kick it up a couple of hundred thousand or whatever the hell you need to do. Make him the highest paid guard. The biggest problem with all of this and the lack of long-term deal, if they don't get it done. And look, I think it's very clear. Trey Smith has made it very clear. He wants to stay in Kansas City. He is interested in staying in Kansas City. That doesn't mean he will. Tyrann Mathieu made it clear he wanted to stay in Kansas City, and he didn't, right? Sometimes it just goes down like that. But you can't let Joe Tooney walk and not get it done. Because you could have just let Trey walk. Got a comp pick, paid Joe Tooney the 1 year. If you had a one-year guard, Tooney is actually the better answer. You got a five-year guard, that's where age and all the other things, Trey Smith makes sense. But if it's a one-year guard playing on the tag, I don't like the risk that comes associated with it. I hope that they are deep in negotiations and that they'll get there and free up some more cap space so they can have anything they possibly want to do for any of the other offseason extensions that might need to take place, including McDuffie.
That's the big part. It's not about making other free agent moves, because to me, they're kind of done.
Yeah, they're probably there. They got paid in the draft class, but that's $6 or $7
million.
It's
what you said at the end. Other extensions they want to get done. We have gone over and over the cornerback market and where that dollar amount is. We know Trent McDuffie is someone they would love to lock up long term, and we know what that's going to cost roughly. And they cannot proceed with that until they get this extension done, or at least have clarity on, is it going to get done? I still think it does. One thing we know for sure, Trey Smith's playing on this team in 2025, but you could not have made the move with Joe Tooney and tagged Trey Smith to me without feeling pretty darn confident that you can get this long-term deal done. And we know deadlines spur action. We are still a long ways away from it. I know we want it done
deadline
soon.
July, right?
Mid-July. Yeah, July 15th, 10th, whatever it is. So they've got time. It's not like if the deadline was tomorrow, one, it would be a big deal, but also I'd feel like, oh, they're going to get it done tomorrow. The fact that it's July, are they going to get it done a week from now? Are they going to get it done right before the draft? Are they going to get it done right after the draft?
I've been really bad personally about predicting when the Chiefs will use the tag, who they will use it on, and if they'll get a long-term deal. I'm like 0 for the last 5. So I will say my prediction measure has not been
what
good.
What percentage chance would you give?
I thought the first year they tagged Chris Jones, I'd get a contract done before the deadline. They didn't. Then I thought they wouldn't tag him a second time. They did. Then I was like, I thought, well, they're not going to get him as a free agent. And they did. Then I was like, well, they're not tagging Trey Smith. Then they did. And I think finances changed a little bit. The cap changed out a little bit. I don't think that was original plan, but I didn't think they'd tag him. Same. They did. And so it's like, I don't know, 50-50? Like, it always feels like I put it too high at the chances to get it done when it is a logical deal that should get done. So I think it's a 50-50 shot they get a long-term deal done with Trey Smith. But I, like you, think it's incredibly important that they get it done for this to be a successful offseason. Otherwise, just keep Tooney for a year, draft a guard, and solve your problems that way.
I was going to ask you and the text line, 913-586-7965, Jay Southland, Soul Service text line, what percentage you would give, though, that he plays on the tag and that next year he walks and all they get is a comp pick. That is, they don't get a long-term deal done. Because, again, trading him is never, to me, happening. So it is.
So let's say the 50% chance I think he doesn't get a contract this year. I think it's like another, so like 25%. I think it's like half of those outs.
Yeah,
and
I think
just
it's
don't get a deal done at all.
15 to 20% range that he plays on the tag and then next year he walks and all they get is a comp pick. That would be, by the way, that would be a disastrous way of handling this if that's how it ends up turning out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since you traded Joe Tooney.
Yes, you didn't have to do that. And again, you get a comp pick, but like that's not what you wanted. You didn't tag Trey Smith so you could eventually get a comp pick. You could have got a comp pick this year for him. You could use next year, not the year after, not 2027 comp picks. That's not why you're holding on to guards.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, the way I view it is it is still a huge key of the cog for how I'm going to judge this offseason, because I'm fine with letting the league's best left guard go for a younger player, if and only if they get that deal done with him.
Random question.
Of course, the random question today is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over the text line, 913-586-7965. You're saying, okay, what this is going to be a either or. I don't want you to, it doesn't have to be send or receive. I want to make that clear before I ask you the question. The question I have for you today feels somewhat relevant, so we'll see, is that when was the worst example of you either sent a text to the wrong person or received a text from the wrong person from embarrassment, anger, whatever standpoint?
Yeah.
I'll give my answer while you guys think about it because I didn't give you any heads up. So that's what I want. So you either sent the wrong person a text or you didn't receive it. There's two that come to mind immediately. One is the obvious. You were in a group chat with someone else. You then were talking trash about what an idiot this person was and just sent it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow up with the, it was a sibling and they were in a different group chat and I was being like, they're being kind of stupid. And I was sending it to some of the other siblings and I had instead included the sibling we were trying to say a negative thing about at the time. Bad news. Sending a negative thing about a sibling to other group of siblings, and then that one sees it. Oh no. No good. I didn't out them by name. They probably knew that it was them. Never really talked about it. Great. The other one was I did once send a text that was meant for a person I was dating. Not graphic, but like words that you wouldn't want to send to just a friend who you were also texting. So I sent a sexually charged message to a friend instead of the person
sexually charged.
Again, it wasn't like I didn't send like a photo.
Okay.
If that helps. But I did send a message that was sexual in wording to the wrong person.
Did you quickly like say my bad or did you quickly try to play it off? How did you
try to play it off? I don't think they ever bought it.
No, you have to take your L.
And just take the L?
I don't want to take the L.
So the scenario you first brought up absolutely been there, which is you were talking some crap on somebody and unfortunately you sent a message to that person because they were been there. The most recent one though was somebody sent me a message. I don't know if it was necessarily bad, but just like it was weird. So I get a message and there's seven other people in this message and I have none of the numbers. And the message is like something along the lines of like, hey, this is so-and-so and it's so-and-so's 50th birthday, and we're having this event, and please make sure, you know, let me know if you can make it. And all these people are responding like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it to, you know, Margie's whatever, you know, whatever, just making up names, like the birthday party or whatever, and all these people are responding. I finally go, hey, so-and-so sounds, hope you have a great birthday, but I have no idea who the hell any of you are. And they're like, they all just started laughing, and then I left the group chat. That was it. It wasn't a negative one. It was just one of those where it was
kind of silly.
How did my number get in this, you know, 50-year-old's birthday party group chat? I know none of the numbers in there.
Similar situation with yours, Gold, where I tend to be very careful. I will say, now that we have iPhones, the unsend button is very useful in certain situations. I've done kind of both. I haven't sent anything like that, but my brother has complained about my sister to me, but in our group text, he sent it there on accident.
Oh,
so my sister's like, hey. She's like, hang on a minute. She wants to do the group FaceTime and everything like that, and is calling him out, and he's like, I'm sorry. And it's just kind of nuts. I think this is a good one. From the 816, freshman year of college, texted my mom thinking it was my girlfriend, told her I couldn't wait for her to wear a certain underwear and bra combo tonight. She immediately called me, and I blamed it on my roommate.
He said he
blamed it on his roommate, said he put his phone down and he grabbed it. Clutch way to get out of it.
Blamed it on your roommate?
That is clutch way to get out of it.
But everybody's phone's locked nowadays, and you have to use the face thing. The idea that someone like, if Cody couldn't just take my phone and start texting people, it's locked. He would have to use my face or know my code. I don't buy that someone took my phone.
In a certain era, you could have gotten away with it.
Yes, true.
In a certain era, you could have gotten away with it, but
whose phone's not locked after a minute or so?
Unless they take your, unless they know your password somehow.
They know my password.
I mean, why would I know your password on your phone?
I don't know if you're looking over my shoulder.
People
or something,
saying they sent a dirty text to their mom instead of their wife. That's worse than me sending it to a friend.
Well, yeah, a million times worse. A million times worse.
Way worse than that.
People are confused about your story. They're saying you sent a sexually charged message to a female that you were dating at the time or what, and then you sent it to a dude.
Well, I just said it to like a
friend of mine. Confused. Shouldn't he have known that it was, not a dude?
It was, no, this wasn't. It would have been worse, honestly, if it was another girl. That would have been way worse.
Agree.
And 100%. Way harder to explain.
100%.
No. It's just like a good friend of mine from high school.
Someone says, accidentally sent I love you guys to the family group chat instead of the 96.5 text line. There you go.
I mean, it is a bad.
Someone said this was back in 2011. That's why the phone thing worked. Okay. Someone else, a lot of these have to do with, relations. I can't read this full text, but you guys will get the gist. Someone says, I promise this is real. They said they meant to text their girlfriend at the time. It's blank day. Can't wait to celebrate. And I sent it to my mother instead. That's from the 816.
Over on Twitch, Ari says, my wife was in college and working at our college job, working with a good friend of ours at a coffee shop. Our friend spilled some milk on herself and kept calling herself a milky girl like as a joke. He said, and it was creeping my wife or now girlfriend at the time. He said, so I text, who's my milky girl? Turns out I sent it to my boss at my first big boy job. The idea of texting, who's my milky girl, to your first big boy job out of college?
That is
I'd hate
crazy.
It. Well, you're just trying to be like goofy with someone, right? But if they don't have the context of that, no good.
I'm going to have to cut that and just save it separately. Should I?
I feel so bad, man.
It's not even you saying it, Cody, but you're just reading a text, but I think it's hilarious.
There's just so many people. There's just so many people. And everyone's done this. I'm convinced
everybody's
done this.
Correct. I agree.
Someone said they called in on a snow day a month ago. They work with their brother, and he texted me worried, so I texted him the truth that I was just playing hooky. Yeah, I sent that to my boss, not my brother. I was at a follow-up from earlier. Yeah.
That's the worst. So you're telling your brother, you're like, I'm not sick.
His brother texted his boss instead of me, complained about his boss and made fun of him. He lost his job after calling it Cooper's, not Cooper's Hawk. You can guess what the other word he used. Instead of Cooper's Hawk, the wine place, he might have called him Cooper's something else.
That's unfortunate.
You want to read one more? A couple more? You get the gist.
No, I get the gist. Yeah. We can, this might be a good snitch line.
Yeah. Some of these are getting in more of the snitch line territory.
Might have to, bring back the snitch line, this week. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. We can't do it Thursday cause it's opening day. It's not a good snitch
maybe
line.
Maybe tomorrow.
Day.
We didn't get to it last Thursday. So maybe tomorrow we'll do.
We owe you guys a snitch line. Let's do snitch line tomorrow. So get them ready. God, it is bad.
Did your wife ever tell you was there an example where she or somebody sent her something?
She this isn't anything, and it's not anything bad, but there was somebody who, apparently it was the number that she has now that used to have her number. They would constantly call and text and ask for Robbie. But please, I need to talk to Robbie. And my wife's like, this is not Robbie. This is the wrong number. And they would not stop calling or texting for about a week straight. They were like, I need to talk to Robbie. It's like, you have the wrong number. Robbie's not here, man. Very, very weird. But
That is weird.
That's the experience that she's kind of had with regarding that, as far as I know.
Little update on Vinny Pasquantino. Andy Rogers is there for their final spring training, the weirdo Texas one where they kind of like do the scrimmage or whatever. Vinny was seen working on the field. She sent out some videos of him taking grounders, feeling some stuff. The way she put it was, looks like things are heading on a good track. We'll see if that continues. But did say that, like, it does appear he's working on the field today. So still a chance that Vinny Pasquantino will be available for opening day, something obviously we were all really, really hoping for. I mean, at least I am.
For sure. No, that's a good sign. I'm still a little skeptical, only because of the fact that it's so early on in the season, I could see them just saying, hey, we're gonna hold them off for a day or two. We'll see.
Could be. I mean, I don't know if they're
going to play. I have to address it. I wasn't going to do this, but now that the mayor's chimed in, I have to.
Wait, now what?
So, Mayor Q has quote tweeted our station account.
Uh-oh.
So this morning, back to the stadium stuff, sorry.
Oh, boy.
But once the mayor did this, I have to at least bring it up, right? So, Bob, of course, we were already discussing this, talking about the Sprint campus, old Sprint campus site. And the developer at the campus put out that statement and said that they're not talking to the Royals. Okay, whatever. I don't know what's true, what's not true. Anyway, the mayor screenshotted the article that said JOCO campus owner Royal Stadium will not be built on the site. Okay, the statement. The mayor Q types in, sure thing, Bob, and quote tweets our station. So just...
I'm staying out of this.
What a mess.
I'm staying out of the fray.
What a mess. We got the mayor taking shots as well. Boy, oh boy.
I guess we'll wait for Bob's response. Maybe next. Well, I don't know if he'll respond. On the air tomorrow, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I don't have any idea. I have no sources on where the stadium is going. Zero. Yeah. I'm happy to report. I personally have zero sources.
This is one subject.
Don't have any idea. I would like it to be downtown. I would not like it to be at 119th and Knoll. That's my personal stance.
Yeah, you and I have said, not a big fan of location. Will they end up there? No clue. Will they stay downtown or go downtown? I should say, no clue. All I know is the Royals are not playing at Kauffman Stadium in 2032. So that's all I know. That's
Sounds
all
like
you know.
You guys are in the majority as well with that thought process.
I just think today has been weird. Now people are just taking personal shots at people. It's gotten weird today. That's all. It's gotten really weird.
Sometimes you just gotta stay off social media for a day. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Better for everyone's interest.
There's people not texting. Oh wait, I sent this text to the wrong number.
Yeah. All right. Up next, let's talk some more Royals baseball and talk about three players that have a chance to swing things in a big way for the Royals. But who are you actually putting your stake on having the better season? We'll tell you who that is next.